where do I start? Okay, let me start with the topic of my sermon, to infiltrate and to change. Wasn't it a wonderful dedication? It's nice to, there's just a nice feeling this morning. There's a nice family feeling. And it's exciting. It's exciting when, to see that God speaks to us specifically. He knows specifically. It's amazing. We serve a wonderful God. I'm going to talk about today. It's a date wrong. Oh, it's the old date. But that, I put it up there to see if you're awake. Old sermon. It's an old sermon. to infiltrate and to change. And I'll start off with a story which I hope is historically correct. But who of you know is Boris Yeltsin? Almut, you want to share again? Come, Almut, come. The older ladies are telling me to stop. Where's the mic? Almut wants to share. I didn't know she was here. She shared in the Afrikaans service, but that's good. She wants to share again on a dream that she had.
Good morning, everyone. We have the intercessions on Tuesdays always, neither at Mark or at Jaco's place. And 2 Tuesdays ago, we had a very blessed one. And it was really very powerful. And that night, I dreamt there was a tunnel. I don't know what was in the tunnel, but all of a sudden, there were millions of little frogs, ugly little things. Not like our beautiful frogs in Namibia. They were really ugly. And when they got into this tunnel, everybody just fled. And I woke up, but it wasn't really a pleasant dream. And then I immediately fell in a deep sleep again, and I dreamt this whole tunnel was full of locusts. And the cockroaches came and fed those locusts with milk. It was very ugly. And I woke up and I got up and I said, I don't want to dream again. These dreams are not nice. And the next day I was thinking, what does it mean? And the word disobedience came into my head. Just that one word, nothing else. And I said, where is it? And it was the church. And the next night I dreamt somebody stood next to me, a tall, big fellow, and he threw a snake down in front of us. A big snake just went away. I don't know what the dreams mean. But we were praying about the churches in Swakopmund and those intercessions. And I just want to ask everyone here, please pray for the churches in Swakopmund, every church. Because if one church hurts, every church hurts. Please. Thank you. That's all I wanted to share. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Almut. That's what God promises us. It says the young will see visions and the old will dream dreams. So it's good. It's good to hear these things. It means God's speaking to us. I also dream, I don't know, more than often. And it's not normal dreams. It's dreams that I think mean something. And my wife. So, yeah, let's be open to hear from God on that. Okay, so I'll start off with a story. Boris Yeltsin, as I understood it, it's somebody in Angola when I worked there told me this. So if it's wrong, it's his problem. But that he was, before him was Gorbachev. I like these history things. And then it was Yeltsin, and after Yeltsin, I don't know who, but after Yeltsin, Boris Yeltsin, the communism fell. Communism, whole of Russia changed. And what this guy told me is that Yeltsin had to infiltrate the ranks, and when he was on the inside, at the top, he was a bit of a funny man, to be honest. He had a few issues. But when he was in the ranks, at the top, he could change it. And he couldn't change it from the outside. He actually had to infiltrate and change. And the scripture says that we are not of this world, but we all know that we're definitely in this world. Okay? So I'm not saying become like the world, but you are in it. We are in it. And this whole sermon is about Jesus says, oh, you're not of this world, but we're in it. And I believe, and we're just going to look at Daniel, an example of Daniel's life, is how God wants us to change the world from inside out. So it's a challenge for you, and I think the reason I'm preaching this, or I mean, why I felt I should preach it, is I just read Daniel, and then this came up. But it's many of us that are not in full-time ministry. Who of you are full-time ministry? Who have you worked for the church? This sermon is for all of you. We all work out there in the world, just like me. And I sensed that this sermon is to motivate you, to encourage you again, to give you more direction again in your life where you might have become discouraged. And what does God want me to do in this world? Okay, so we're just reading out of Daniel this afternoon. Daniel 10 verse 12. Daniel's motivation. So, then he said to me, "Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your mind and heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come as a consequence." Oh, my scripture is a bit smaller. "And I've come as a consequence of and in response to your words." Daniel's motivation came from he set his mind and heart to understand, and he humbled himself before God. And as Christians, I believe if we really want to in the end times, when's the end times? I don't really know. I think we're quite close to the end times. We might be in the end times. But it is for us to have a heart like Daniel had in the world. And I'll give you a little bit of background now. But he set his mind and heart to understand what's going on. And he humbled himself before God. And God could use him. Now, if you look at where this whole thing with Daniel starts, it's a very, very vulnerable situation for Daniel. He's young. He's clueless. There's a new king. It's not a godly king. And he's in all of this. So he probably had all the excuses we have. We're too young. We're too inexperienced. We don't know how to deal with this. But yet, throughout Daniel, it's very clear that God used him throughout. And I believe that God specifically wants us as this Shofar church, but as the church in general, God is calling us to be more like Daniel. What was he? If I can just summarize in three things. The next slide. He was prophetic. Prophetic doesn't mean you're weird and nobody understands you. And you have, that's not prophetic. Real prophetic people are sometimes the most down-to-earth people that you can imagine. But prophetic, if I can sum it up in my words, is we don't react to what the devil does. We are preemptive. We hear before things happen what is going to happen, and we put things in place so that when they happen, we're not surprised. And as Christians, you may bring it down to a few levels lower. Family, dad, husband. Sometimes things happen in our lives and we're so caught off guard, offside. What's going on here? But it's just because we haven't been prepared. You can draw it through to all kinds of levels. But being prophetic, God wants us to be at a place where we say, this is going to happen in a few months' time. This is the plan, the devil's plan. This is what we should do now. Or you even prophesy, you preach it, speak it into being in the spiritual realm that this is not going to happen. That evil and that thing is not coming to our nation. Are you seeing what I'm saying? That's prophetic. Not like we are mostly. And I'm saying not you, it's us. We react when things happen. The devil does his plan and then like, oh, chaos. Then we react. That's not prophetic. Prophetic is being ready. And Daniel also understood the times. He knew what to do with the times. And my wife asked me the other day, when do you think the end times, when is Jesus coming back? When do you think? Huh? When? Can somebody give me an idea? Is it soon? 50 years? 100 years? 200? Nobody knows. Looking at the signs, it's pretty close. I don't know. I guess it's close. But what Daniel had is he wasn't caught off guard with these things. He understood his times. he understood. Everybody was, the kings got dreams and they got freaked out, and Daniel could bring some order there and say, hey, hey, relax, this is what it means. And God wants us to operate like that. We don't have to always be surprised and manage, what's it, crisis management. We should stop managing crises. We must start expecting what's happening and then be ready for it. Are you with me? Huh? Why you guys are quiet? Should I tell my rugby jokes? No Shark supporters here. Shame. I SMS'd my whole family yesterday when the rugby started. Because I'm a Blue Bull, I said, is there rugby this afternoon? Anyway, understanding the times, Daniel 10:14, and came to make you understand what is to happen to your people in latter days, for the vision is for days yet to come. Daniel 12:4, but you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. God could speak to Daniel about what's happening around him, and it was bad what happened around him. I just want to focus on that last part there. And knowledge shall increase. But, I mean, people are still using now. Daniel wasn't only relevant then. What's it? 2,500 years ago. I'm not sure. The book of Daniel is still used now to interpret the times, to see what's happening, to gauge what's happening on earth. And this part here at the end, and knowledge shall increase. Do you know how accessible knowledge is nowadays? What am I talking about knowledge? Just knowledge of anything. You Google anything and you can download a book about it. Knowledge is, it's just everywhere. It's at our fingertips. Knowledge. Is the world any wiser with all this knowledge? No, it's not. I mentioned the example in the beginning. My dad, when I was like 10, 15, he would absolutely freak out if somebody uses God's name in a movie. Good. It's good. I had a good dad. He instilled some stuff in me. So by that time, movies that were 2 to 13, what do you call these, PG-13? Have you seen PG-13 movies lately? Parental Guidance 13. Have you seen what they show in those movies? It's the world is on a downward spiral. Stuff is getting worse. I mean, I don't actually understand. Have you seen nowadays? You don't find movies on Mnet anymore. You've got these 1 hour series things that are 2 to 18. All of them on a Friday evening. Before your child goes to bed, they'll show them. Where does this come from? 15 years ago, I didn't see this. It's like in your face constantly. How do you bring up a child in this life? That's where you have to be clued up like Daniel to see what's happening around you, to be prepared to tell your child this is going to happen. Don't worry, it's chaotic, but it's fine. Be prepared to be in that. Well, I'm just, it's abominable what the world is doing. It's abominable the type of movies and the things that they're exposing our children to at such a young age, and they decide what the age restriction should be on these things. It's terrible. But knowledge has increases nowadays. You can access everything except now in Namibia. This morning, no cell phone works. But you can access anything from here. Knowledge is at our fingertips, but wisdom is far away. And Daniel was in that situation. That's how he operated. And we're in that situation. And God wants us to, in the world, in the workplace, be ready and know how to act and be at the... Okay, I'll get to that later. In all of this, Daniel decided to remain pure. Daniel 1 verse 8. But Daniel resolved that he would not defile himself with the king's food or with the wine that he drank. Therefore, he asked the chief of the eunuchs to allow him not to defile himself. Again, scripture says, you're not of this world. That doesn't mean we're out of this world. I mean, we're not in this world. My wife read a book. I must read the book, actually. But it's, and I don't know who the author is. He basically tells us that, and I think it's in the 70s or somewhere, the church went off on a little bit of a weird tangent that we are, what's your word? These people that live by themselves, secluded. Yeah, and the church had this kind of a reaction. We're going to remove ourselves and we'll be separate and all that stuff. The separate that God speaks of is in the spirit, we don't sin like the world, but we're in this world. So this book basically says that we must stop thinking that we must be on our own little island somewhere. We're in this world. We're called to be in this world and make a difference in this world. We're supposed to change this world. Where am I? And you can expect and ask God to, like Daniel 1 verse 9, he had favor. And God gave Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the chief of the eunuchs. God gave him favor with ungodly kings. You can ask God that he gives you favor in whatever area you're working in, doctor, engineer, accountant, politician, that you get favor, you climb the ranks, and that you have more and more influence to change things from the top. We're shouting here from the bottom sometimes as Christians, where God is calling us, like Daniel, I want you to go and stand next to the king. You're going to have favor with him. And in Daniel went through a few kings, and at the end of each one of them, they will acknowledge Daniel's king, our God. So the book that my wife is reading is saying that Christians, stop feeling like you're worms, we should be these little low-life things. We're not. We're called to be the head and not the tail. Not arrogantly, but confidently. Amen. Is that clear enough? So where do you find yourself? Where do you work? Think of that. Start thinking in that direction. Because we spend 95% of our time outside this building. Daniel had understanding of, I already said that, as for these four youths, God gave them learning and skill in all literature and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. You can expect God, he's unfair. He's unfair towards us. He doesn't look to our talent so much. He gives us because he's unfair towards us, because we're his children. You can ask him to be unfair. Are you with me? You can ask him to give you the edge where you're working. He doesn't look at your IQ. He looks at the willing heart, the need to understand and to operate in his plan. He looks at that and he says, I'll give you that. There's another scripture, we'll get to that later. It says they were found tenfold better, something like that. They were found 10 times better than the normal people. Because they deserved it? No. Because they had a God that wanted them to infiltrate and change from the inside. Are you with me? Okay. Here it is. Daniel 1 verse 20. I'm at the right place now. And in every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters that were in all his kingdom. But I understand that working, let me put it this way, the pressure to conform to this world is definitely a lot. It's pressure. So the opportunities for you to fold and not do the right thing, to compromise, is daily. Just ask me the type of work that we do. It's easy to, just easy to mess up. It's easy to do things like this and like this. But I can't do it. Daniel 2 verse 27 to 28. And this is something that I believe God wants us to grow to, is to have a bold conviction. To boldly speak of our conviction that we have. Daniel answered the king and said, no wise men, enchanters, magicians, or astrologers can show the king the mystery that the king has asked. The king had a dream. He wanted the astrologers to interpret it. And Daniel says they can't. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. The king answered and said to Daniel, truly your God is God of gods and Lord of kings. there's a bit of a challenge of us to sometimes, when God allows it, when he opens the door, to speak to the ungodly king or the ungodly ruler and tell him, listen, but king, now this is how it works. And God can give us that opportunities where we speak our conviction boldly. And there you see in the last verse, the king acknowledged that God was with him. And let me ask you this question. How have you been in conversation at work or anything like that where you see that this conversation is going either it's going on the wrong path? Have you ever been convicted to say something there? Have you ever, I'm not saying you should always say something. Have you ever been convicted to walk out of there, to say, sorry, I need to excuse myself? I don't want anybody to go and upset their bosses tomorrow, everybody. But remember what Jaco said last week, God must have the prerogative to come and step into our lives at any stage. So sometimes we either have to say something in that situation, listen, sorry people, can I just say that I don't agree with this business principle? I'm not doing it. I don't agree. Sorry, I need to be excused from this conversation, but I can't, you know, are you with me? And that's where God needs to get the prerogative in our life. What this prerogative means? It means he must be able to knock at any stage, any time and say, Theo, okay, this is what needs to happen now. But, and for who of us is it difficult at the workplace? For who of us is this listening, being obedient to God in the workplace where you're surrounded with people that are not Christians? For who of you is it difficult? Nobody. Is it just me? Is it just me? Oh, sorry. Preaching to myself. But I know it's difficult for all of us. But that's where we need to have this conviction from God that what we're doing is right and we have to stand up for it. Let me give you an example. I think I'll get to it later. Do you know that this constant legislation changes that's happening in America of gay marriages, abortions, etc.? Do you know that those things are put in place by a very small minority? Ask 100% of America to vote, and you'll see the minority feels that those ungodly things should happen. But yet they change legislation. Now that's where we should sometimes stand up and say, if we see our government going into the wrong direction on certain things, we say, but listen, we don't feel like this. We can see where this is going. We've got a conviction and we speak up about it. We speak for it. We don't keep quiet on everything. We don't have to be influenced and shunted around by this world constantly. And Daniel also, who of you, whose role, purpose is it to establish the moral compass where of a nation? Who should dictate where this nation of Namibia is going? Yeah, and we think it's the government. We leave things up to them, which we have a good government. Don't want to say that. No one to get knocked up because locked up, I mean, because it's going to be on TV soon. We've got a good government, but our government does not dictate the direction, moral direction of this nation. The church does. The church must be loud when things go wrong. And even louder in the spirit. Praying and interceding against those demons that want to come and change us. Make life hell for us. Daniel was like that. I must go on. Does it make sense, people? You're awfully quiet. But I don't know. I'm just going to continue. A good lesson that I've learned only over years is that when somebody comes to Christ, you must give him the full picture. When somebody gives his life to Jesus Christ, we must give him the whole picture. And that is that we're not promising you that when you come to Jesus, that everything will be hunky-dory forever and ever. Amen. It's not like that. We're in this world and they don't like us. Scripture says that they don't like us. Sometimes you get across people, you don't know why they're so against you. You haven't done anything to them. They're just against you because of the Holy Spirit that's in you. We just have to make peace with it. And what we have to make peace with it is, if we want to be a prophetic church, we're going to be labeled. We're going to be challenged every now and then. We're going to find ourselves in situations that we don't want to be. Daniel 3 verse 16 to 18. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. Bold. Was it nice? They were about to be thrown into an oven. That's not nice. Nobody gets saved when you tell them that's going to happen to you. But in all of this, Daniel 3 verse 25, he answered and said, But I see four men unbound walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the appearance of the fourth is like a son of the gods. There were three people. Three were thrown into the oven. And this man sees four. And the one has the appearance of the son of gods. What I can promise you is that in the adversity, the presence of God is promised to be with you. If you are obedient to his plan and will, and you find yourself in some difficulty, there is another one next to you. There were three. There was another one next to you. The presence of God was with them. The peace of God can remain with you even though you're in a ship and it's 10, 15 foot waves crashing all around you. You can still be like, sleep. This evangelist, T.D. Moody or something. Moody. I think it's Moody. D.L. Moody. I also think it was, he woke up one night. I think it's him. And the devil, no, honestly, the devil was standing next to his bed. And he looked at it and he said, oh, it's just you. And he slept. And I believe that that man was serious for God. But he understood this, that, yeah, it's all right. I know it's you. I know you don't like me. Now you're going to try your best. I'm happy. I've got peace. Daniel 4 verse 27. Therefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable to you. This is also a bit of a challenging one. But anyway, shouldn't speak too much about it, but just take it. Let my counsel be acceptable to you. Break off your sins by practicing righteousness and your iniquities by showing mercy to the oppressed, that there may be perhaps be a lengthening of your prosperity. Sometimes we need to, and I'm not saying don't warn individuals unless you specifically hear from God. But as the church, you know what shofar means? Where is shofar now? That's not what it means. It's the ram's horn, and it was blown when you had something to say or when there was a victory. And sometimes we must be bold in warning. We must be bold to, and it could just be in prayer. I'm not saying we should speak to everybody about these things. But when we pick up things in the spirit and we're not happy with it, we must sign a warning, at least to the church, or in the spirit, pray about it. And this Daniel even had the guts to talk, but obviously God told him to talk to the king and said, King, this is not how it's going to work. You must turn from your wicked ways. The man didn't listen, and then it went very bad with him, and at last he acknowledged God. But we can trust God that we speak those words of wisdom and warning. We have to speak them in the spirit sometimes. Amen. Daniel 5 verse 11, there is a man in your kingdom in whom the spirit of the Holy God, in whom is the spirit of the Holy Ghost, because an excellent spirit, knowledge and understanding to interpret dreams, explain riddles and solve problems were found in this Daniel. We have to fight for what is holy. We can't just accept everything that happens around us. Daniel 5:22, and you, his son Belshazzar, have not humbled your heart, but you've lifted up yourself against the Lord of heaven. Sorry, I already spoke about that. Daniel 6 verse 10, just one slide extra. He got down on his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before the God as he'd done previously. What happened here in Daniel 6 is that the king said, I'm going to make myself an idol and you have to worship me 3 times a day, I think. And Daniel said, no, sorry, I just do what I always do. I'll just go on my knees 3 times and serve my God. He was steadfast and God-fearing. God wants us to get to a place where we fear God more than our boss, for instance. Don't be stupid now and do stupid things. But when God speaks to you, this must be said. This must be prayed. If we should get to a place like Daniel, we have more fear of God than the fear of man. And I just take it easy. That's all I want to say. God will take you through steps, I think, of being obedient in those things. But be obedient in them. Be steadfast and be God-fearing. I want to just, I'm almost finished. Go to Daniel 8, verse 15 and 9, verse 2. None of this will happen unless God gives us a desire to understand. I don't actually want to say a desire to understand, but a desire to make a change. And Daniel had this. And you might think this one scripture is superficial, but I think it's profound. When Daniel had seen the vision, I sought to understand it. And verse 2, I, Daniel, perceived in the book the number of years that according to the word of the Lord Jeremiah, the prophet, must pass before the end of the desolation of Jerusalem, namely 70 years. I think that's a great scripture. Let me explain. Picture yourself what Daniel is studying scripture. He's seeking God. He's saying, I want to understand. What does the 72 years mean? What he was spending time, intimate time with God and his word and saying, but I don't understand these things. What does this mean? I'm going to study it, cross-reference, read the word. He had such a hunger to understand these times and what's going on because he needs to make a change. God must instill that in our spirit to study his word, to seek understanding of what's going on so that we can be effective in life, so that we can be effective in this world. And it can't happen. It won't happen out of our fleshly desires. What we should trust God to do in this morning is that He instills that through His Holy Spirit, that we say, but I'm not going to leave here until you tell me what to do at work tomorrow. Oh, I'm struggling with this one colleague. He's blaspheming left, right, and center around me. What do I do? Read the word. Study it. What does this scripture mean? What do your words say about this? Where's Namibia going to? Our schools are falling apart. What are we going to do about it, Lord? Speak to me. What should I do? Put the right people on my path. A desire to understand. A desire to understand what to do in this time that we find ourselves in. And God must do it. Then I turned my face to the Lord God, seeking Him by prayer and pleas for mercy with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. Daniel 9, verse 4 and 5. Let me. I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession, saying, O Lord, the great and awesome God, who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love Him and keep His commandments, we have sinned and done wrong and acted wickedly and rebelled. I just want to stop there. We get stages in growing as Christians, and this is how I explain it. The first stage is you get saved, you come to Christ, and it's really all about you. God wants you to get baptized, wants you to get spirit-filled, He wants you to deal with your emotional background. That's his heart. He wants to do that, Isaiah 61. And it's like a exercise of where God just fills you up. No, okay, this is how it happened in my life. Let me rather tell it. Then you're a bit older and you've grown a bit more and you realize, yeah, but I'm actually never going to reach the perfect will of, I'm never going to be perfect. There's always mistakes with me, but you make kind of peace with that. And then the focus changes from me to others. This is what happened to Daniel. Daniel was the most godly man probably in that nation, and he says, we have sinned and done wrong and acted wickedly and rebelled. Daniel started taking that responsibility on him, it changed, his life changed from being self-centered to people-centered. That's the heart of an intercessor, of somebody that's prophetic. It's not there to judge people. It's there to scream and cry and say, Lord, do something so that they can hear your voice and be saved. That's when we move into the next level of our lives with God, where we say, but Lord, I want to be your partner. I want to work with you. I want to hear your voice so that we can be, do you understand, partners? It's like, partners is quite, in business terms, it's a thing. Like, your things are my things, and you know, it's almost like a marriage. I want to partner with you, God. Speak to me. I hate the injustice. What am I going to do? And that's where God wants us to get to, is where we stop trying to just figure out what's wrong with us and how much we should still change, and we realize that, I've received so much of God, now please show me where to give this to other people. And that's when we start taking on that responsibility. Are you with me? And Daniel did all of this while he was in that world, ungodly. God gave him favor left, right, and center to do this. And he had no excuses. He didn't think of excuses. Amen. The last scripture. Can we sing a song again? Or just close off? God does not motivate by fear. God motivates by love. He's not given us the spirit of fear, but the spirit of adoption by which we cry out, Abba, Father. I want to tell you that you can take this sermon to heart. You can react and respond out of fear, and you'll be back at the same place next week. Because nothing's going to happen. Because it won't be from God. But if you respond to the love of Christ, to that unction of the Holy Spirit, the love of Christ that gives us compassion, then things are going to change. Daniel 9, verse 22 to 23. He made me understand, speaking with me and saying, Oh Daniel, I have now come out to give you insight and understanding. At the beginning of your pleas for mercy, a word went out, and I have come to tell it to you, for you are greatly loved. Therefore consider the word and understand the vision. God saying to Daniel, you are greatly loved. Daniel had a constant, yes, presence of God, but he constantly knew and understood that he is just daddy's little son. Greatly loved. Are you with me? Can we stand? And I just want you to keep that in mind, that if you feel at this scripture or this message is speaking to you, I just want to tell you, focus on the love of God, not on how bad you feel and how guilty you feel this morning on what you're not doing and not getting right. That's from the devil. Focus on the love of Christ. And God is saying to us, to his children, that Daniel just had a heart to be humble before God and to understand. That's all. He wasn't special, but he was special just because of that. And if you are like that, if you see God humbly, if you go humbly before him, you like, he says to Daniel, you're greatly loved. I will listen to you. I'll hear your pleas. I'll make the changes in your life. I'll come into your workplace. I'll change things around for you. Just humble yourself. Just show me you want to work with me. Can we just bow our heads? If you're here this morning and you want to be a Daniel for God, you want him to, maybe you're a bit frustrated where you're working or whatever, you're frustrated with your relationship with God, and you just want to be like a Daniel where God can speak to you, where you're prophetic, where you're in tune with what the Holy Spirit is doing, where you stop being so frustrated at work, and where you should go, the plan of your, what's your life's purpose, what you're doing. Because I really believe the enemy wants to confuse us constantly. just at the workplace and we never feel that we're actually accomplishing it. God wants us to be excited like Daniel was in the king's court because God's using you. So if you're here this morning, you don't feel like that where you're working, wherever you find yourself, and you want us to pray for you to become like a Daniel, to have that influence and that favor. Yes, sometimes challenges, but then still the presence of God with you. Can we just bow our heads, close our eyes? If you want that and you want prayer for that, can you just raise your hand quickly? Is anybody like that? Okay. Now you know what I'm going to do, so can you guys come forward? Please, don't be shy. Come and stand here. We're going to pray and ask God to bless you. And as they come forward, we will close off now and then we'll pray for them each individually. But I want us to keep our eyes closed, and I just want to ask, if you're here this morning but you realize you actually have to start a relationship with Christ. We're talking growth, you know, we're talking 5 years into being a Christian. That's what we're talking about here today. But you realize that you haven't even been born again yet. You haven't even been a baby, spiritual baby, because you haven't been born again yet. And the Holy Spirit is pulling you, tugging you, telling you this. I just almost beg you, don't ignore that call of the Holy Spirit and give your life to Christ. Start with Him, please. I wish I could start it when I was like 15, 16 years and didn't wait until I was actually just 18. But I wish I could start it earlier. So if you're here this morning, you want to give your life to Christ, would you raise your hand? Is there somebody like that out there who wants to give their lives to Christ? Okay. I'm going to close off in prayer and then we're going to pray for these people. Father, we thank you for this morning. Lord, we pray that we will be Daniels when we go out here, Father. But that your presence will be with us. Father, we don't want to tackle this thing alone. And there's so many people here that you feel alone. And I know that's the case. You're either alone at school as being a real Christian, or you're alone at work. But Father, I pray that your presence, like you showed here in Daniel, maybe other people won't see it, but it will be tangible to us. So I just pray that for everyone here, Lord, that we will go out, infiltrate, and change the world. Father, I also pray for everybody, but especially the young people here, Lord, that you will give them dreams and visions on where you want them to go to, Lord. Some people here, mostly the youth, I guess, you've got no dreams, no visions. You think God has no plan for you. I just want to tell you that's a lie. That God has got big plans for you. He does not really care about your history and your growing up and how terrible it was. He cares about it, but He wants to tell you that should not stop you. So I just speak blessing and promises into people's lives, your plans, Lord God, where people can just hang on to it and have some hope. The devil steals your hope constantly, and I just rebuke it in Jesus' name. Father, we ask that some things must change in the spirit at least, so that these people can have something to hang on to. And you're stealing constantly from them, and I rebuke it in Jesus' name. There must be some breakthrough at some time in their lives, and we speak it, Father. This apathy sometimes from the youth, Lord, not to fall and then stand up and fall and stand up. I just rebuke that also in Jesus' name. I ask for a consistency in Jesus' name, Lord, where your spirit will grab them and they won't be able to stay away from your presence because they've tasted the power of God. And I pray that power of God will not be ignored in Jesus' name. Father, and bless us that we will be Daniels in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, guys. You can go. We're going to pray for everyone here. Amen.